Carl Perkins was one of the many artists whose career Sam Phillips helped launch. He recorded at Sun Records in Memphis during the label's heyday, when its roster included Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Johnny Cash. Perkins' singing, guitar playing, and songwriting brought together country and rock and roll. He's best known for writing the song Blue Suede Shoes. He also wrote Honey Don't, which was recorded by the Beatles. More recently, his songs were recorded by Dolly Parton, the Judds, and George Strait. Carl Perkins died in 1998. When Terry spoke with him in 1996, they talked about his first encounter with Sam Phillips.
There's a great story about how you ended up going to Memphis to record at the Sun Studios. Your wife heard Elvis Presley on the radio singing Blue Moon of Kentucky, and she called you and she said, look, there's someone on the radio who sounds like you, because you and Elvis were both putting together country music, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll. And when you heard that, you went right to Memphis to the Sun Studios to see if Sam Phillips would record you too.
You're right about that.
So was he willing to give you a shot right away? Did you have to work hard to convince him?
If I hadn't have felt that was my only opportunity, I wouldn't even turned around. I'd have put it in reverse and backed back to Jackson, because he wasn't there when I walked in. My brothers were sitting out in the car, and I went into the little front office there, and a lady by the name of Maren Kassler, who was Sam Phillips' secretary, who was really the lady who found Elvis Presley. She told Sam about this good-looking boy and how unique he sang. He came in to make a record for his mama. He paid $3 for it. It was called Memphis Recording Service then. But I walked in, and I guess she could tell by looking at me that I was a hungry guitar picker. And she said, if you come to audition, you're out of luck, because we got this boy Elvis, and he's more than we can handle. So Mr. Phillips is not listening to anybody. I said, well, I appreciate it. It's all right. We set out front for a while till he gets here. And just a few seconds after, or a few minutes really after that, he pulled in, and he got a little close to my old Plymouth, because I was in his parking place and right in front door. And he whipped in there in that two-tone 54 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. I never will forget it. It was dark blue and light blue, and he got out. He had on a dark blue pair of pleated pants with a light blue coat. I said, wow, that's either Elvis Presley or the cat that owns this place. And I beat him to the front door. I had my foot in the door. I said, Mr. Phillips, I'm Carl Perkins. That's my brother sitting there in the car, and I was talking 90 miles an hour. We come down. We want to make a record for you. He said, I'm too busy, man. He told me after that, he said, Carl, I don't know why I listened to you. I had no intentions. I was wrapped up with what I was going to do to get records pressed of this boy Elvis. But you look like your world would have ended. And I said, Mr. Phillips, it might have. Because I was just aching to get in that studio. I just felt, with encouragement from my wife, I thought, I can't let Val down. I got to get in there. And we did.
So Sam Phillips gave you a shot. What did he do, ask you to play a lot of your songs?
He asked me, my brother Jay had a couple of songs that he'd written. So Jay started doing one that he'd written, and he stopped him after about one verse. He said, I've got anything else. He did another one and got about that far, and he stopped him again. Jay liked a country singer by the name of Ernest Tubb and had developed a style like him, because he loved him so much, and he sounded a little bit like him. And I never will forget, Mr. Phillips said, boy, there's already an Ernest Tubb. You need to forget about him. Your song's pretty good, but I can't use you guys. And I didn't realize, we didn't know, the microphone was still on, and he was back in the control room. I said, boys, don't put them. They started to put their instruments, back in the cases, and I said, don't put them up. I'm going to do him one of mine. I said, please don't. We can't leave here. But he was hearing this, and he heard a convicted little old skinny armed boy by the name of Carl Perkins that when I got the shot, he walked back through there. I said, Mr. Phillips, will you listen to one of my songs? He said, yeah, take off. So he stood there. But I got real nervous because after I got past the first verse, he hadn't stopped me. And I thought, oh, Lord, he's going to listen to the whole song. And I got to jumping around, and the first thing he said to me after I did that, he said, that's a cute song, and I like it. He said, can you sing Standing Still? He said, you're going to have to, because if you ever make a record, you're going to have to stand still. I said, yes, sir, I can do whatever you tell me to. And he said, well, I like that song. Go home and write you another one in that vein, and we'll talk about putting a record out. So, on the way back to Jackson in a 40 model Plymouth, I must have written 10 or 15 songs on the dashboard. And I called him back in a couple of weeks, and I had a thing he liked. It was a country song called Turn Around. So, the first one I ever did for him was a song I wrote when I was 14 years old called Movie Mag. And Turn Around was on the other side, and that was my first record.
Well, why don't we hear "Turn Around," your first recording? And this is different from what we've heard. This isn't this is more of a country ballad than an up-tempo rockabilly song.
Yeah. Now the song on the other side was a rockabilly country thing called "Movie Mag," but he liked. I tell you what, he told me. He said, "This boy Elvis is doing. I know where your heart is." But he's got that ball and going with it, and I can't have two of you cats sounding a lot alike and singing this up-tempo, we call it feel-good music. There was no word, no name for it at that point. Some of the hillbillies in Nashville, I think rockabilly sprang out of there. They said, you know, them boys in Memphis are rocking our music. So it got called rockabilly, and it kind of stuck there. But He didn't feel like that he had room for Elvis and I doing the same kind of music. So he told me, he said, I'm gonna put out this song, Turn Around. And then he put out another record called Let the Jukebox Keep on Playing. On the back side of that one was a rockabilly song called Gone, Gone, Gone. And then he sold Elvis to RCA Victor, and he said, now you can rock. And that's when I came up with Blue Suede Shoes and Honey Don't.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, why don't we hear the country ballad that you wrote,
right,
Turn Around.
Good. Okay.
When you're all alone and blue and the world looks down on you, turn around, I'll be following you. When you feel that love is gone and you realize you're wrong, turn around, I'll be following you. Turn around, I'll be waiting behind you with a love that's real and never, ever dies. If you feel your love will last and you like to live your past, turn around, I'll be following you.
On today's show, we're remembering Sam Phillips, the founder of Sun Studios, who died Wednesday at the age of 80. Let's return to Terry's 1996 interview with Carl Perkins, one of the musicians who started his recording career at Sun. Perkins is best known as the writer of the song Blue Suede Shoes. His 1956 recording of the song was a pop, rhythm and blues, and country hit. Then Elvis had a huge hit with the song. Here's Perkins' version.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step
in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything that you wanna do. But honey, lay off of my shoes, don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
Carl Perkins, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd love to hear the story of how you wrote Blue Suede Shoes.
Well, I'd love to share it with you. It was October the 21st, 1955. I was playing what we called back in those days a honky-tonk. They call them clubs now, but it was a honky-tonk where people get together and scream and holler and dance and have a good time. And I had not owned a pair of blue suede shoes at this point. I'd seen a few of them around my hometown in Jackson, Tennessee. But at the end of a song, this couple had been dancing, a very attractive young lady and a cat that had on a pair of blue suedes. And at the end of the song, he said, don't step on my suedes. And it bothered me, you know, not having owned a pair. I didn't realize that, you know, if you step on them, you kind of got to brush them off a little bit. It discolors the toe of them. But the thing that bothered me was he thought that much of a pair of stupid shoes to actually hurt her feelings. So I went home that night, and I could not go to sleep. I mean, I just kept seeing her face. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And she really was. And I laid there and I thought of the old nursery rhyme, one for the money, two for the show, three get ready and four to go. I got up, went down the concrete steps. I was living in a government project house. And I got my guitar down and I said, well, it's one for the money, two for the show. And I never will forget, I couldn't find any paper to write on because we had two small children, my wife Valda, who thank God is still with me after 44 years. We all of our folks lived close by, so I guess we had no need to have writing paper. So I took three Irish potatoes out of a brown paper sack.
Oh, no.
I did, and bless her heart, she saved that sack. The original words to Blue Suede Shoes is hanging in my den in Jackson, Tennessee. And I never will forget. I called Sam Phillips at Sun Studios down here in Memphis, who had a boy by the name of Elvis, who had a couple of records already out at that time. And I said, Mr. Phillips, I wrote me a good song last night. He said, what is it? I said, I guess we'll call it maybe Blue Suede Shoes. He said, is it anything like old them golden slippers? I said, no, man, this is about a cat that don't want nobody stepping on. He said, it sounds interesting.
Now, as you pointed out, the nursery rhyme is three to get ready
and four to go.
So how did it become Go Cat Go?
Well, the original line there that I came up with, I said, three to get ready, now go, man, go. I wrote the song Go, Man, Go. And the first attempt I made at recording it, I said, go, man. And then I got excited because I could tell through the glass control window that Mr. Phillips was liking this song. And I got excited and forgot the word man. There, on my original record, there is a slight pause. I said, three to get ready now, go, cat, go, but don't you. The word cat flew in there instead of man, and after I got through with it, he said, that's it. I said, Mr. Phillips, I made a terrible mistake. I call that man a cat. He said, I heard you, and he's going to stay a cat.
Now, this was the first rock and roll record to top the pop charts, rhythm and blues charts, and country charts at the same time.
Yeah, it was.
And a lot of people made their own recordings of Blue Suede Shoes, Lawrence Welk among them.
Yeah, he sure did. Pee Wee King and the Golden West Cowboys. There was every kind of version. And, you know, to this day, Terry, this song still gets put on albums all around the world. It's amazing. You ought to hear it in the Japanese language.
Yeah. Now, of course, Elvis Presley did a version of your song.
Yeah.
How did he end up doing it?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because I'd like for as many people as possible to know this about this wonderful boy. I knew Elvis in 1954, when I first came to Sun Records. I worked the schoolhouses. We were booked by the same disc jockey here in Memphis, a fellow by the name of Bob Neal. We played high school auditoriums together. I thought I recognized a super talent. This boy was one of the nicest fellows I'd ever been around off the stage. And when he hit the stage, he was just completely... generated, high-powered, hip-shaking. He couldn't help that. He wouldn't. You can go back and find where a lot of people copied Elvis, but you can't find who Elvis copied. Elvis was an original. And, you know, this guy was absolutely great, and I'm leading up to answer your question. When my record came out, January the 2nd, 1956, of Blue Suede Shoes, RCA Victor contacted Elvis. They had bought him from Sun Records at that point. And they said, "Elvis, there's a hit song out there. We want you to get in the studio and record it." He said, "There's a lot of hits out there. What are you talking about?" And Steve Sholes allegedly was a man who recorded Elvis back in the early part of his career. Victor said, "The song's Blue Suede Shoes." He said, "Yes, sir, you're right. I think it's a hit song myself, but that's my friend, Carl Perkins, and that's a Sun record." And he didn't want to do that song at the time they wanted him to, which was in January of 1956. He waited until April of that year, letting my record do what it was going to, and then he recorded it. And that was the kind of guy he was. You know, he could have jumped on it first, and nobody would have ever known Carl Perkins existed. But because of the nature of this fine individual human being named Elvis, he wanted me to have success with it, and he thought I would have if he stayed off of it, and that's what he did.
What do you think of his version?
I loved it. You know, I fell into the trap. Elvis did it faster than I did, and I love... In the music industry, we call it the groove. The beat that he put to it was up-tempoed from mine quite a bit. And I loved his so much till I drifted into doing it like he did, you know, faster. And when I met the Beatles in 1964 in England, and we was at a party, and they wanted me to do, you know, Blue Suede Shoes, and I did. And Harrison said, "Why don't you do it like you did it?" I said, "Well, I think I am." He said, "No, you're not. My record was, well, it's a one for the money, dun-dun-dun, a definite two stops, you know. And Elvis was, well, it's a one for the money, two for the show, pow." It was a one lick. And Harrison was really disturbed with that. He said, "Man, you do it different than anybody ever did, and now you're doing it like everybody else." But I really liked Elvis's record of it. I still to this day do, and I catch myself unconsciously speeding it up to the very groove he had it.
Terry Gross spoke with Carl Perkins in 1996.